Okay. Okay. Energy in at least 7 of the GTAP database. So with increasing strong interest in climate change and energy security issues, we're finding amongst stakeholders a strengthening demand for energy data and for energy data that meets certain criteria. And over several releases, we've been gradually putting more effort specifically into this area. So this is going to be about advances in the latest release, release 7. Okay. In terms of what is driving this effort practically, perhaps one of the strongest factor is energy-oriented stakeholders' need for data that matches well with IEA data. And it was this that first got us into taking any energy-specific action at all. Up to about release 4, what we said about energy was just what happened to be said in the collected input-output tables and the trade data and so forth. And some people found that it was pretty hard to match that up with what they were finding in the IEA data, and since if you're working in an energy-intensive area, it's likely that the IEA data is the basis for a lot of your calculations, this was a real difficulty for them. Again, we find that there are difficulties when what we have to say about some particular countries' energy sectors disagrees violently with their own national data. So from time to time, for instance, someone from the Economic Planning Institute in the Netherlands calls us up to complain that our tax rates are quite divergent from what the tax rates that their stakeholders expect to find in their analyses. Conservation of effort is obviously an important thing. Time being finite, and the quantity of data that has to be dealt with here being rather large. Minor considerations include things like plausibility and so forth. What I put it at the bottom, because this has not been a driver at all in what we've actually done so far, has been to do anything specific about support for climate change analysis. So this is all just because we have a CGE database, we say things about the energy sector. The climate change guys need those things to be sensible. But at this stage in the standard GTAP data release, we haven't even gone to the length of, for instance, reporting CO2 emissions. So this is hopefully of some use for them as a basis for adding on the topic-specific features, but it doesn't actually cover them. Okay. So in constructing the GTAP database, we take data from a great many sources, and where they overlap, they tend to disagree, and we have to decide which to believe. And what I'm telling you here is that in the GTAP data hierarchy, energy is king, where the macro or the data or the trade data, for instance, where trade and energy data conflict, energy overrules the trade data. Where energy data and contributed input-output tables conflict, energy data set overrules the input-output tables. Okay. This energy data set that I'm talking about is something that you haven't seen and perhaps never will see, but it's an intermediate data set in the construction of the GTAP database, and it contains both volumes and energy volumes and energy money values, describing bilateral trade and domestic absorption. Contains commodity tax rates. It's not available at the full 57 GTAP sectoral level, but distinguishes 22 industries. And relation to domestic absorption, it makes no distinction between domestic product and imports. Okay. So broadly speaking, how do we do this? We assemble energy price and tax data from various sources, convert them over to our categories and concepts. These data, these volume data, insofar as they pertain to trade, just show exports and imports by country, but not by partner. So we have to add a bilateral dimension, which we draw from the main GTAP trade data source, the merchandise trade data contributed by Mark Gelhard of the Economic Research Service of the United States Department of Agriculture. And having all these volume data, we then match them up with the price data to get the money values, which is, you know, is what the GTAP database is all in terms of. Okay. And talk a little bit about the volume data. So for this we have a most excellent and admirable source, the International Energy Agency's extended energy balances. And this is a tiny portion of that for some relevant country. And if you can read this, I hope you can get some flavour of it. You'll see that it is has a nice level of detail. Here, for instance, we see five distinct kinds of coal, and apart from two other categories which are used if detail for the five type breakdown is unavailable. You'll see several energy products which might be rather minor, but so you can see that if you're going to the level of distinguishing things like peat or coal tar or blast furnace gas, you're dealing with quite a detailed description. Okay. So this data set for us has many virtues. As I've just been saying, a high level of detail. It's consistent within countries. It all balances out in each single country. It's complete in that, broadly speaking, if a country's in there, then everywhere there should be an entry in the large matrix of which this is a part, that there will be an entry. You don't have many not availables. It's carefully and extensively documented, and this is a technical expression for data work. It's prepared with tender, loving care. So the people at the IEA spend a lot of time with their contributors, which are typically government agencies. They have extensive manuals and so forth for how to prepare data for submission to the IEA. They go and they work closely with the reports that are handed into them and follow-up issues of concern and so forth. So, you know, there's a vast amount of labour that's gone into that of a kind that takes a large organisation, a large dedicated organisation to provide. And a very marked contrast with the brutal and summary way in which we deal with data anomalies. Okay, but nobody's perfect, and even this admirable data set for us has some drawbacks. that are categories which are difficult for us to fit into our framework. There are residual categories, a necessary evil perhaps, things like non-specified industry, the meaning of which can be hard to track down. The country detail is good, but I could still wish for a little more. I'm sorry to say that some countries submit bad reports on some occasions. Finally, as I said, within each country, the data are well balanced, but if you look internationally, there's no attempt to balance imports and exports globally. Okay, non-specified industry. Is this legible? I hope so. This is a rather awful note in the IEA's documentation. So there are certain manufacturing industries which are properly classified as non-specified, but then we get this note: most countries have difficulties supplying an industrial breakdown for all fuels. In these cases, the non-specified industry row has been used. So in other words, you don't actually know what's in there for any particular country. Some industries' energy usage may have been reported not where it belongs, but in this non-specified industry. And it's not even necessarily consistent across different fuels within the same country. We shall see an example soon. The country detail is incomplete, but it's pretty good. This is what's been lumped into other Latin America, for instance. So apart from these small countries, every other country in Latin America is separately represented in the balances. Okay. So, yes, on the issue of bad reports, this is something that some salient differences between two different editions of the energy balances, the 2001 and the 2004. And let's start right up the top line. So here we're dealing with a developed country with most excellent data and statistical facilities. And we see that between 2001 and 2004 editions, electricity usage and transport equipment has allegedly fallen from about $5 billion to about $400 million. Well, this is not because some disaster has befallen the Japanese transport equipment industry, nor because they've miraculously found a way to produce the cars without electricity, but because, for reasons best known to themselves, they've decided to take this non-specified industry cop-out. So if in 2001 they reported that this electricity industry and transport equipment where it belonged, in 2004 they shoved it along with some other industries' electricity usage into non-specified. And this 421 is actually nothing that from directly from Japan at all, but our lame attempt to spread non-specified over other industries. Okay, let's look at the next one, Middle East. This is our aggregate of many countries, of course, Saudi Arabia and Kuwait and so forth. Petroleum products use and services fallen from about $6 billion to about $1 billion. Now what's going on here is that actually a lot of these countries somewhat got their act together. Their 2001 reports were appalling, and they showed almost all their energy usage is being done by the services sector. In 2004, there's been a very marked improvement, and a lot of energy usage has been allocated to manufacturing where it belongs. Look at some of the gas story. Italy for 2001, it said it used just $8 million gas in its services sector. Almost certainly completely false. Actually, I think it had a zero, and it's just from things that happened in our processing. So between 2000 and 2004, the Italians improved their report. And as Italy went forward, France went backward. So they forgot in 2004 that services industries, services sector used gas. And so it goes. I'm not saying this to say that we have a bad data set here. This is one of the very best data sets we have coming into us, but just to say that nothing is perfect. Okay. That's on the volume side. Now we turn to prices and taxes. And here things are much more difficult. One of the features of GTAP 7 is that, unlike the several previous releases, actually does have up-to-date price and tax data incorporated into it. We brought the price and tax data in for the first time for GTAP 4, which had a reference year of 95. It was a big effort by some dedicated specialists, and had resort to many data sets, and they processed them in a most elaborate way, and so elaborate, in fact, that we didn't feel confident in doing it again for several years. So what we had there was basically the old data and an attempt to update them to whatever the current GTAP reference year was using some price indices. It worked less badly than you might expect, but obviously this wasn't satisfactory, and it's a great relief to us for GTAP 7 that we finally got the price and tax data going set up on an ongoing basis. It's something we think we can sustain release by release. Okay, why is it so hard to do? Well, it's hard because it's complex, and it's complex because the data are basically insufficient and inadequate. And to address those insufficiencies as best we can, we have resort to many data sources, as shown here. And we have resort to many different methods. Okay. So here, for instance, these are some of the ways in which a basic price may be estimated in our data set. In a few cases, it's simply observed. In many cases, we calculate it from an import price. This is an import parity concept. So if we know an import price, then we upscale that by any applicable duty rate, and that gives us a basic price estimate. The most common method, perhaps, is to take a user price. The IEA reports many prices of energy products to households, to industry, and so forth. And they report the tax rates too, so we can take that and make an adjustment for domestic trade and transport margins. And the user price itself can come in many ways. It can be actually observed. It can be an out-of-date observation, updated using some price index, a cross-country average. So there are all these many methods, and in any particular method you might be taking data from one of many years and from one of many sources. Those are a right mess. This is where we are with user prices, which, as I've said, is probably the largest single collection of data we have. And these are the user prices as of release 7. So we had 885 observations of these things, of which the greater number came from the Energy Prices and Taxes publication of the IEA. Then here where you see IEA, this is a publication of the Energy Information Agency of the United States Department of Energy, who have obnoxiously entitled their publication International Energy Annual. The SIEE is a data set put together by OLADE, an organization of Latin American countries, and also some Caribbean countries. So you see, these are the big three. And then beyond that, we even with all these, we're still missing some important numbers for China, where we resort to the China Energy Data Book put out by Livermore National Lab in the US. And for India, we have something, the Terry Energy Data something or another. Anyhow, so these numbers are few, but we're so critical that we're willing to actually, you know, give them enough tender, loving care to go out and hunt down special data sources. Okay. So, did this make a lot of difference? Well, as I said, the old system worked less badly than might have been expected, but we certainly, when we put this together, we found that it made having real more up-to-date data made a considerable difference in many cases. Generally for the better. Here we have some of the notable differences. So here we have 2001 price estimates done the old way and the new way. Comment on a couple of lines. Sometimes it's for the worse. Great Britain, the gas price, we had 82 before, is US dollars per tonne of oil equivalent, now 244. 244 is much too high. What happened was that with the new data coming in, we obtained import price data for Britain, and in the vagaries of the program, it decides that it always likes import price data better than user price-based estimates. Even when, as in this case, the import price data are older. So this was 244 is based on a 1998 import price observation, and if the program had decided to use the 2001 user price estimate, it would have come up with a much more sensible $100 per TOE. Here's another thing where something changed drastically. South Africa electricity. We had before a fairly normal looking $638 per TOE, and now this very low $215. $215 is, in fact, is true. Electricity is very cheap in South Africa. Trouble is, it's cheap because it's implicitly subsidised, and we actually don't take account of the fact that it is explicitly subsidised. We just think that the South Africans are very, very good at producing electricity. Okay. There are major issues with the prices and taxes data, and it's inherent in the kind of data that are available that there will be. Some of them listed down here. We look forward to addressing these progressively to the such as we can in the future, and in particular over the next couple of years we're getting a man called Levent Iden coming to work with us, who has a background as an electricity engineer, has a strong energy background, and there's improvement in our resources. We're looking forward to some activity. There are lots of minor issues ready to be addressed. Something that I understand some people have been talking about getting some richer detail in petroleum products. That's something that we can do. In many cases, however, we're going to try and make better use of the data that are out there, but the data that are out there themselves are distinctly limited given the current interest in energy related topics and policy areas. We're hoping that we're getting the message that there's some money sloshing around looking for a use, and that we're hoping to that people can be persuaded that one good use of it is to get better basic data collections by the relevant agencies, the IEA obviously being one of them. Okay.
Questions?